Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Volunteering is meant to improve and support our community by giving time and energy to nonprofit agencies that provide much-needed services. However, that's not where the benefits stop. There's a multitude of personal and professional benefits individuals gain from volunteering. There's also a less obvious benefit involvement in nonprofits might also bring right now. After an especially divisive election, when people express feeling overwhelmed, victimized, or demonized by political discourse, nonprofits can also be a place where people can find sanctuary and solidity through nonprofits required to find nonpartisan solutions for the concerns we share in our community. There are places where individuals throughout the political spectrum can get involved and come together as donors, board members, or volunteers to strengthen our shared community. Our topic today is bridging our political divide through service in the nonprofit sector. My guests are Leslie Santos Dirks, CEO of Spokes, a nonprofit organization that guides other nonprofit organizations in achieving their goals with support and expert resources. John Helgerson, Vice President and incoming President of the Atascadero Kiwanis, with close to 100 members, and on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club of North San Luis Obispo County. And joining us by phone in a little while, Dee Lacey, cattle rancher, owner of Lacey Livestock. And Dee has been a longtime volunteer for a multitude of diverse community nonprofits and organizations, and we look forward to having her join us. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our conversation with your comments, questions, or just adding your examples of experience. And you can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, 781-3875. And I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
An interesting spin on nonprofits. I like, you know, that we're kind of approaching it from this kind of a viewpoint. And Leslie, I want you to start off by giving an overview of what Spokes is, because a lot of folks may not be familiar with it.
Thank you. It'd be my pleasure. Spokes is a nonprofit organization that helps other nonprofits run their businesses. As we mentioned, we provide expert resources and support primarily to the board members and executive leaders of our local nonprofits. Folks may not be aware that we have one of the highest per capita ratios of nonprofits in the state of California, and many of our nonprofits are smaller, more grassroots nonprofits, meaning that the bulk of their human resources are actually volunteers filling in at the board member level. And as you can imagine, many of us have gone through college and through careers, and we've never received a class on how to be a board member. And yet it is a very specific role and has a lot of legal and confusing governance responsibilities, fiduciary responsibilities. And so we're here to help local members of our community accept these board roles, understand how to do them well, and to give them resources to make that important work easier for them to do and to do it more effectively.
And it's, you know, I think it's really impressive that there's an organization to support that, because just being on a board of directors and just sitting, I don't think there's a realization of just how important a role it is mm-hmm. for the direction of that organization.
Yeah, I would say that most nonprofit organizations, the level of their success is directly related to the board members and their level of understanding and engagement within that.
Absolutely.
Role.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that probably is astounding for some people that haven't been involved in nonprofits is just how important it is to have the right people on your board of directors.
Yeah, it's critically important. Yeah. Just like in any other organization. Again, I use the term human resources because they really are your human resources. You need humans to decide to define your programs, to even to serve a hungry person. You know, you need someone to cook the food, to raise the money to buy the food. Mm-hmm. So they play that role. And people don't know that they are always volunteer, that they're not allowed to be compensated for these very important roles that they play. They may not know also that you can have a nonprofit with no paid staff, but you have to have these volunteer board members. So we have many, many members of our community who are fulfilling these roles. And what's also happening now that some people outside of the sector may not realize is that the IRS is increasing its scrutiny of the sector. We know that the sector has grown almost threefold.
On the nonprofit sector.
Yes, forgive me, yes. Nonprofits continue to grow. Just the whole sector is ballooning. And we know that there are a number of nonprofits out there that are not fulfilling the public benefit for which they were formed, a couple bad apples. And so that's tax money that is being lost, right? Because nonprofits, the charitable organizations, have the privilege of not paying taxes on their revenues. And the IRS doesn't like that. And so they're increasing compliance standards and regulations to weed out those who are not performing per the public trust for which they were formed. And so that means that board member responsibility and all that goes into it is elevated. And folks need to understand that role so that they can help the organizations be in compliance.
Excellent. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that volunteering for nonprofits can have an added benefit of offering nonpartisan political cause and focus for volunteers. Talk a little bit more about that and why that was something that was interesting to you to bring in as a topic today.
Well, let's see. First, another thing that folks may not know about the nonprofit sector is that there are 29 different types of nonprofits. It's the 501c3 organizations, the charitable organizations that are legally required to be nonpartisan at all times. And that's a wonderful thing. That's something I love about the work that I do. I have the opportunity every day to work with individuals who are trying to do something beyond themselves. To sit on a charitable board, or the board of a charitable organization, means to check your personal agenda, your political agenda at the door, to step forward to create solutions with other individuals as a governing body to improve the quality of life in our community. So there's that piece of it, that we must be nonpartisan. It's something I take great pride in. And then at the same time, sitting in the spokes offices these days, we have a lot of our nonprofit members coming in, sharing with us stories about how the political discourse is affecting their work. And it's really been fear-driven in a lot of ways. Groups are choosing not to participate in certain activities, public activities, maybe marches or other things, because they're afraid of alienating donors who, you know, for whatever reason, that event has become partisan, you know, has been politicized, which isn't fair. The International Women's Day is about women's rights. But there are folks who will say that's, you know,
it's
a Democrat, a liberal.
Liberal.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's not really fair. And a group that is supporting women's issues or women's rights should be there and should be there with pride. And yet, it is hard because some of those groups are fearing alienating donors who might be on the other side of the political or the perceived other side of the issue. Although I will argue that there are plenty of conservative men and women who care about women's rights, as there are the liberal side or less conservative. And I'm really proud of the fact that the sector gets to be this middle ground, that we need to always be bipartisan in our work. And I wanted just to bring everyone's attention to it one more time and remind folks who are feeling maybe overwhelmed by the discourse, feeling either victimized or demonized, as you mentioned, that there's a place to get engaged. There's a reprieve. There's an opportunity to learn and work together in a way that we would like to see happening in Sacramento and Washington, but it's not. But we can do that here locally.
And, you know, do you get calls from nonprofits that are saying, I have a situation where I do have a political issue between board members or, you know?
You know, not as much. I am grateful to say I have not heard about much conflict on the board level because, again, good board members understand that, that there's no place for that.
You know, as you mentioned that, I've served on many boards in the time that I've lived here in the community. I can't think that has ever been part of the screening process. Is that something now that in today's political climate, with it being so contentious, that is part of the teaching for new nonprofits?
Well, it is something we address in respect to, and I guess I kind of want to reframe the conversation, that the beauty of the nonprofit sector is not about we're against this or that.
Right.
It's we are for this mission.
For the organization.
And the mission is always centric. Mm-hmm. Board members are stewards of that mission.
And it needs to come first.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, the vetting that happens when you are considering a board member or recruiting a board member is, you know, does this mission resonate with you? Can mm-hmm. you stand behind it with all these different audiences and all these different contexts?
Right.
And it is a very different conversation to say, I stand for women's issues as opposed to against what would be, against abortion.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's not the issue. That's not what we're talking about. We're for mm-hmm. women's rights here, mm-hmm. safety, equal pay, whatever it may be.
Right.
So mission-centric is what we focus on. And then we do a lot of bylaw review. That's a part of being a board member. Bylaws, you have to understand your organizational bylaws and uphold them. And every bylaw, set of bylaws, should state that the group and all of its activities will always be nonpartisan.
And Ron, you are you're serving on two different kinds of organizations. One is a service group, the Kiwanis, and the second is being involved in the board of directors with a organization, a nonprofit.
The Boys and Girls Club. Very, very different experiences. The Kiwanis Club actually led to me being on the Boys and Girls Club board. Excuse me. The Kiwanis Club that we have is a very active organization. We just inducted our 99th member this morning.
That's great.
At 7 o'clock in the morning. And being on that board where you've got that kind of a resource to act as arms and legs to get the sweat equity portion of what we do is very different than having a board of directors that is just a board of directors and not doesn't have that enormous engine of membership. So Kiwanis is, to your point of acceptance or whatever, diversity, we've got a wildly diverse organization that is I think it's successful because it is diverse in a lot of ways. It allows people to contribute. It allows people to contribute what they have. We have everything from cement finishers to cooks to whatever, and all across the political social spectrum. Mm-hmm. It is the wonderful part where we come together every Thursday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and 99.9% of the time, people do leave their politics at the door, and the mission there is to serve the children of the world. Mm-hmm. So it's been a wonderful experience for me. And then as a result of that, I've ended up on the Boys and Girls Club board in order to help bring a new club to the city of Atascadero. That's been going on for about 18 months now. And again, it just allows you to leverage what you have to offer.
Do you find that in the Kiwanis group, you end up creating friendships and camaraderie with people that you would never develop those relationships with if you wouldn't be thrown together at 7 o'clock in the morning for breakfast?
Absolutely. I've run across, the people that politically it's very different than I.
Right.
But we'll be out there with a shovel or mm-hmm. flipping hamburgers or barbecuing tri-tip or whatever we happen to be doing. And, every once in a while you have a little side discussion. But, I mean, it people that I never would have met or had anything to do with. But it's just a tremendous opportunity to watch a group of people be very productive for the community in a, and I never thought about it until today in a really nonpartisan way. Mm-hmm. And I've been smiling about it ever since I had the discussion with the people that got me in front of this microphone.
That's great. I am so glad that you're talking about diversity, because diversity is critical to the success of our nonprofit sector. You know, we have so much data that shows that creativity springs from diversity. And I want to stress that. In fact, with some of the boards with which I work and do training, I will encourage them to designate a devil's advocate when they're in every single meeting, right? Just to sit on the other side of an issue or an idea or a program and to poke holes in it so that we can come up with an even stronger, better solution. We are working on the critical issues facing our community. Like if ever we needed the strongest possible solutions, it is here in the nonprofit sector, and we need everyone on all sides of the political spectrum to participate in those discussions and in creating those solutions.
Leslie, do you think that, you know, when you're talking about challenging something or poking holes in something, you know, we're talking about also learning how to do that from a standpoint of looking for a constructive way to make things better out of that. I think there's, you know, there's some concern that I think we've lost some ability to be able to look at negative feedback or look at how we could do things better in defense of we're already doing things right on our own way. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is hard. It is. I appreciate what you're saying, that there are we do a lot of work really, really well, and it's easy for other folks to be critical, which is something else I'd like to put out there, is if someone is sitting outside of the sector and they feel that more can be done in a particular area, you will be more politically credible and effective if you dive in and are part of creating that solution or begin to understand why the work is done that way. I mean, it can serve it can benefit folks in so many different ways, and yes, everyone can always do a better job. And I do love that about nonprofit work, is that we have to be open to feedback, we have to be open to problem solving, and it requires us to have a certain level of discourse, frankly, that is missing in the rest of our social interactions. And so, it's a wonderful place to hone that skill: your ability to listen well, to be respectful, to compromise where it's allowable, and yet stay true to the mission and the vision and the values to which or for which you must or what you must uphold.
Absolutely. If you just joined us, you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your public radio station here for the Central Coast. Today's show is about bridging our political divide through service in the nonprofit sector. And my guests are Leslie Santos-Dirks, CEO of Spokes, a nonprofit organization that guides other nonprofits in achieving their goals with support and expert resources. John Helgerson, Vice President and incoming President of the Atascadero Kiwanis, and on the board of the Boys and Girls Club of North San Luis Obispo County. Your voice can be part of today's conversation. And this is the show is live, and we're taking phone calls. We'd love to hear your comments and questions to join us. You can call in at 781-3875, and that's 781-3875, and we have a call from Carl. Carl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, Carl.
I did as you asked.
Thanks, Carl.
Carl, do you have a comment or a question?
Well, not so much a question, but I you know, I sit on half a dozen boards currently. Three of them I chair, one of them I'm the treasurer for. And there's a wide variety of people that serve on these different boards. Politically, we have differences of opinions, but quite honestly, it's never been an issue in the meetings that we have, because we're there for a cause or a purpose. And that's the focus. It really, I don't think people have resigned from any boards because of my political views. They may have resigned because I'm on it, but not because of my political views.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, you probably should, because we were in Rotary together.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we have to practice finding common ground on the nonprofit boards. That is the expectation of the role. So it really is fun. It's fun to have folks who have different opinions, to know that about them, to respect that, and then find something that you can agree on and wrap your arms around that. It really builds meaningful relationships. I will argue that it might be a more meaningful relationship than with the person who votes just like you.
Yeah.
You're right, because you have to grow. And, you know, we've gone through some really difficult economic times, and it really impacted probably all of the nonprofits in one way or another. And
absolutely,
you have to look at, how do you succeed? Do you look at consolidation? I mean, the boards I sit on, we've gone through all these different aspects, and it really doesn't come down to national political opinion. Some of them are funded on a national level, but it's still not the political opinion that's the driving force of the mission.
Well, and Carl, I can't let you off the hook, because I do need to point out that you sit on the board for KCBX too.
Oh.
And that's a huge deal.
I've chaired it for many years, and I feel very fortunate. And some people might say that I'm a little too far right, but it's a great organization, and it's very well managed. And just because you did bring it up, I will have to say that it's really impressive, the number of volunteers over the years that have committed to the station and to the communities that it serves.
Well, and I want to point out, too, that you just said people will say you're too far right. There are a lot of people that will say that public broadcasting is too far left. So just the fact that you've said that speaks to what we're talking about,
exactly,
which is that regardless of where you sit politically, we can serve an organization that has value to us and do it in a way that it can be dispartisan. It doesn't matter. It's what the organization is doing that becomes the focus. And,
right,
you know, I think the other thing, Carl, that with your experience too, and I think you spoke to Ron as well, is that when we join nonprofits, we can do it in a way that we can join a nonprofit that we may have a curiosity about learning more about, and maybe it's not a passion of ours except to learn about. But you get invested in something and you learn about other people, other causes, other needs in a way that opens a whole new world to you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same time, you're helping service the community. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And it's been my experience that one of the advantages of being in a nonprofit is working with other nonprofits and other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, partner with them or whatever the term is, and you learn more about what they do, and together you can accomplish more. And the variety is amazing, everything from MUST Charities to Community Church in Atascadero, which is agreed to let us use their facilities for the Boys and Girls Club. We partner with the City of Atascadero on the Winemakers Dinner, which funds this and funds that. So it's opened up my eyes to the vast variety of 501c3s that are out there.
Right.
Yeah. All trying to do the right thing. Like you said, there might be a bad apple. I'm not aware of any right now. But just to be involved in that community of people who are trying to make our community, our county, our city a better place for, in many cases, people who might not have all the advantages that some of us do.
Right. Yeah. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to start to recognize people for the causes that are important to them, their values and their beliefs, and not for which presidential candidate they voted? I mean, to me.
Well, and I think nonprofits do that.
Yes, that's what I mean. I love think, that. Yeah, it's the thing exactly. I love so much about right. my work, and I want everyone to experience that. I right. think a lot of folks need that right now, so right. I wanted to remind them that this
well,
is the safe place.
I would say that with the different organizations that I'm involved in, including Rotary, very seldom does it ever get to national politics. It's all pretty much about the local cause, local reasons. We all know that the people have different opinion of who should be in office or out of office, but it really it doesn't come into play. And I think you're right in the sense that the political rhetoric has exhausted everybody. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, the nonprofits, in at least in our area that we serve, it's refreshing. Because you can actually do something good. There's something tangible that you can see. And it gives you a nice break from the real world political stuff that goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. Carl, I want to thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
So you guys have a good day and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye, Carl. So with respect to nonprofits, I'm sure there are all kinds of myths around nonprofits, what they are, what they aren't. What are some of the more common ones that you run into, Leslie?
The myths?
Yeah.
Well, one myth that we – so the good news is as folks are – one of their responses to the political environment has been, I want to get involved now. Those who have been complacent are looking to get involved. And so they are approaching us. Truly, they approached us before the elections, too, wanting to start their own nonprofits. So one of the big myths we run up against is that folks think nonprofits are somehow less complicated organizations
as a business.
Exactly. And we have to remind everyone, they are corporations, just like a business corporation. And in fact, I'm so sad that Carl is off the phone.
Oh, he can call back.
Carl,
he's listening.
I have to give him full credit, so I hope he's chuckling somewhere. Carl once taught me a little strategy to help folks who come into my office better understand what they're endeavoring to do. And his pitch was to ask them, would you like to open a restaurant? And most folks will sit there and say, a restaurant? Why would I want to do that? I have to deal with, hiring people and buying kitchen equipment and, oh gosh, marketing and selling. And I have to say, everything you would do for a for-profit business, for a
right.
restaurant, you would do for a nonprofit. Plus, there are additional compliance hoops through which you need to jump in order to receive this tax privilege that we have.
Correct.
And so if that sounds daunting, maybe starting a nonprofit isn't the solution, but there is a way to go and work with all of the wonderful nonprofits that already exist. And so that's when we have a conversation about what their values are and what's aligned with them.
How many nonprofits exist in this county?
We don't know for a fact, but I am proud to say, I just want you all to know that we are working on an actual nonprofit inventory for our county. We have some wonderful students in the business fraternity at Cal Poly are helping us with this. And we know that there are at least 1,200 registered, but the range has been listed anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 to 2,200. I've heard multiple numbers. And that includes all nonprofits. So that's all the 29 classifications. For example, I'm guessing Kiwanis is a C6.
Or, I think so.
Yeah. So, and there are religious organizations that are different.
Right.
A different number. So that's all 29 classifications of nonprofits.
Yeah.
And we'll know better when this nonprofit inventory is done, hopefully in a couple of months.
Yep. And so, but even with that, if you just think about that in terms of all are looking for support, all are looking for volunteers.
Exactly. All need board members.
All need board members.
All need donors.
All have a mission.
Yeah.
All need donors.
Nonprofit exists because we're offering programs or services that can't be monetized, otherwise it'd be in the for-profit
right.
community, or the government doesn't have the bandwidth to be able to offer, it requires maybe a specialized skill set that doesn't make sense to have in a government
right.
position. So they'll take taxpayer dollars and contract with nonprofits. We call them federal grants, but they're truly contracts. So we always rely on donated income. So I also wanted to put that forward as another way to get involved in nonprofits. Maybe you don't have time right now to go sit on a board or to volunteer, but you can make investments. You can make donations to support the causes that are meaningful to you and to step forward and have conversations with other friends and encourage them to support. And we can make a big difference all together.
Yeah. And being able to keep dollars locally, you know, can make a huge difference too. You can see them.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To see the benefit of what your contribution has caused to create.
Yeah. I had a, I once took my mother to her tax person, which she was in her 90s, and she was scammed by all of the mail that you get asking you to give to this veterans organization and that one, and they would send her the little flags and the pens. And, you know, my dad was a career military guy, so she thought she was really doing it. And her tax guy said, unless you can drive by and see it, I don't want you giving any more money to it. You know, just said you need to be able to see the building or see the sign, and then you can give the money. And that kind of resonated with her, that she needed to keep it local.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of choices for her.
There are a lot of choices, and unfortunately there are people who prey on the nonprofit sector in a variety of ways, too. So that is certainly a valid approach. I would say give locally because it's so nice to, you know, I do this exercise with folks sometimes, and I'll say, think about the last week in your life, and or maybe just even think about today. What did you do to get here today? And, you know, how many beautiful sets of sceneries and hills did you drive by? And are they there because of the land conservancy, because someone has done some conservation? And did you pass some cyclists using these wonderful bicycling routes that maybe were there from the Bicycle Coalition or, you know, helped in some way? Was a baby born that you know of today in a nonprofit hospital? You know, you work with folks who are leaving this world every single day. You help assist those families move into that situation. Did you drive by the food bank where someone was receiving the food they needed? Or actually, some people don't even appreciate that the food bank, one of the greatest gifts of the food bank is that it allows people to pay for their rent and to pay for their medicines.
Right.
Because they don't have enough to pay for food, medicine, and home, but they need all three. And that's one of the greatest gifts is that the food bank allows people to take care of themselves in other ways. So think about all the ways nonprofits have touched your life. You know, did you drop a child off at a school where a PTA is working hard to make sure literacy programs are there? I guarantee you, you'll come up with a multitude of ways that a nonprofit has touched your life, and it's so important to contribute to that.
Two other very good examples of being allowing people to function and support themselves in other ways are the Boys and Girls Club, where it allows people to work without worrying about their children after school. We've had parents that, you know, just really struggle with transportation and those sorts of things, and they have to leave a job early. The other really good example is the Adult Day Center in Paso Robles, where it allows people to work where their elder mother, father, uncle is safely being cared for and their life enhanced by the day center, and people can go off and work and take care of themselves in other ways.
Yeah, really important.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that a station, public broadcasting station, like, you know, like KCBX. I mean, I think people often think that the people who are hosting the shows or playing the music or are doing that are paid. And there's a strong volunteer force here that this station couldn't exist if there weren't volunteers that were here, and if the donors weren't coming through for stations like this, the station wouldn't exist. So incredible importance. And board members, again, extremely important in providing support and direction.
You don't have to be frightened about being on a board.
No.
There are a few rules and regulations, but there's generally some history, some people who have been on there and are aware of what those things are. And the thing I like about being on a board is I really know what's going on in the organization, and can I can be a better member if I'm a board member than if I'm not. And I guess the biggest thing hardest thing about being on a board is that everybody else is a volunteer. and you can't fire them or anything. You've got to put up.
Well,
with,
I would argue well, that
you
point.
Can.
Well,
yeah.
I suppose you can.
But I don't want anyone to feel daunted by the prospect of being a board member. That's why Spokes exists. We're here to help those who have an interest do it right. and to do it well. So no one should be afraid of that. They should just call us and we'll help them learn how to do the role or how to find an organization that meets their needs. I just want to make sure everyone understands that the sector, the nonprofit sector, needs everyone's participation. And there is a place for everyone. Depending on, again, where you're at, there is a role for you to play. And we just want to help facilitate that process.
I think that's great. You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 FM, San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM, Salinas de Paso Robles, 89.5 FM, Santa Barbara, and streaming at kcbx.org. Service in the nonprofit sector offers an opportunity to focus on and celebrate our similarities in supporting a common cause rather than differences that can divide us. Our topic today is bridging our political divide through service in the nonprofit sector, and my guests are Leslie Santos-Dirks, CEO of Spokes, a nonprofit organization that guides other nonprofit organizations in achieving their goals with support and expert resources, and Ron Helgerson, Vice President and incoming President of the Atascadero Kiwanis, a club with close to 100 members, because you're at 99, yay, and on the board of directors for the Boys and Girls Club of Northern San Luis Obispo County. Today's show is live, and you can bring your comments and questions into our discussion on air by calling us at 781-3875, 781-3875. We'd love to hear from you about your experiences with nonprofits and volunteering. And I have a question for you. You had mentioned, too, that you'd seen examples of how people can actually bridge, how you'd seen people bridge that politically or morally opposed individuals can come together in organizations. Can you give me a couple of examples of it,
sure.
Leslie?
You know, I firmly believe that there's more common ground between us than there is a defended or separate ground. I really believe that most of us share a lot of the same values. We simply might have different perspectives or approaches to them. And so, you know, there's all sorts of examples. You know, the hunting enthusiast and the vegan can both get behind wildlife conservation. The gun manufacturer, gun shop owner, and the pacifist can both agree that our veterans need our support. Someone who owns maybe a hamburger and milkshake restaurant and a nutritionist can both agree that playgrounds are really important in keeping children healthy and active, and they both can work in all these capacities. And we could think of many, many seemingly totally opposed individuals that can find common ground. I firmly believe it is always there. And again, you see each other differently when you find and stand within that common ground. So that is what I wish for everyone. That's why I want folks to come into the sector to be active, because I promise you it will be an empowering, transformative experience for you.
Okay. And we're going to take a call here from Karen. Are you there, Karen?
I am.
Hi. You had a comment or a question?
I did have a question. I work with a nonprofit called ASAP, and they fund a lot of programming for the animal services here in SLO.
Uh-huh.
We've developed a new program, and this would help the volunteers get on board with training, as well as help funding for training to go with adopted dogs. And what I'm looking for is how can I get in touch with grants or grant writing so that we can fund this nonprofit, basically, program?
Oh, well, we can help you with that. So Spokes offers a variety of classes. In fact, we have a class scheduled for April 4th that just filled up. Grant writing, but we have them all the time. We had one just a couple weeks earlier. So our classes are open to anyone in the community. We do have a couple of nonprofits who choose to become members of our organization, and they receive additional benefits and resources, such as access to the foundation directory online. It is the premier grants research database. And so if you would like to learn more about membership, that might be an opportunity for you to come and research what grant funders are out there to whom you should send a request. And I should explain that the way our membership works is it's $300 a year for everyone within your organization. All your board members, all your volunteers, all your staff can access our services through that. But I don't want that to be a barrier. I want to make sure everyone understands that our classes are open to everyone. What I would ask is if you wouldn't mind going to our website at spokesfornonprofits.org, you'll be able to sign on to our newsletter, and you'll receive notifications about upcoming classes that allow you to register and take advantage of them.
That would be fantastic. This program is just wonderful, and it's just we need some funding for it so that we can, you know, keep it up. It's just beginning, and it's just starting to open up, and we just need the funding such that we can promote it.
All right, and hopefully someone out there who cares about animal services will be looking out for you.
Oh, that would, I know, this is really great. So thank you so much for your time.
Good luck.
I will look up Spokes, and it's spokes.com, yes?
Yes.
No, spokesfornonprofits.org.
Spokes. Oh, okay.
Spokesfornonprofits.org. I know. I'm sorry. The URL of Spokes was already taken. We weren't so lucky.
Okay. Got it. I will be on it, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for all your work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, Karen. So when you're example of the kind of work that you do, mm-hmm. you provide classes mm-hmm. through Spokes for people that are looking for how do we secure grants.
Sure.
Do you have a database that people can search for what grants are available based on the kind of funding that they're looking for? And on their own, if they were trying to buy into this database, it would be pretty costly.
Well, it would be $2,000 a year for them alone. But
right.
what we do is we buy a series of licenses, both to Foundation Directory Online and lynda.com, and we create kind of an economy of scale where we share access. And with lynda.com, which is another site with lots of helpful tutorials, you check out a license for a week at a time to take all the classes that you want. And we never have anyone waiting. You get it for that week, and then if they're all gone, you wait just a couple days, and you have one coming
and
right to you.
Give an example of the kind of classes that they can do on lynda.com.
Well, we licensed lynda.com because we were seeing a lot of nonprofits struggling where someone was doing the newsletter in a certain software program, and that person had to leave because life happens sometimes. A grandchild was born somewhere, or someone falls ill, or someone gets a new job. And they needed training on that software program.
Right.
And it wasn't feasible for us to offer all those different types of software training. So we purchased lynda.com licensing, which is now part of LinkedIn. It has more than 50,000 tutorials, and you can view them from your home and office. And it's everything from how to use Photoshop to how to design a brochure to how to prepare for a TV interview,
mm-hmm.
how to prepare for a public presentation, how to manage employees, project management, you name it. If it's management related or project related, it's on there. And we love it. Again, the cost of a lynda.com membership is more than a Spokes membership.
Yep.
And because the people who need us the most have the least. They're the smaller grassroots organizations especially that have the least amount of resources, and they want to use their dollars for program-specific work. So we know capacity building is critically important to their success, and yet we appreciate that they have limited resources and can't invest as much as maybe a for-profit company would invest in training and professional development for its staff. So we provide cost-effective solutions.
And having worked in the nonprofit sector or been a board member for as long as I have, unfortunately, one of the first things that goes as nonprofits start to whittle down their expenses is training.
Right.
You know, they try to conserve their salaries for their employees or retain their employees. And so those things are considered fringe benefits, and they just can't afford it. So sending someone away for training, fortunately, webinars and online trainings are so accessible, and people are used to watching YouTube. Mm-hmm. They're used to doing webinars. People have become technology geeks now, and so we know how to use them. It's an excellent, excellent tool.
Yeah. And I will say, I need to mention maybe that we're a nonprofit as well. And so the two crossed of our programs, our members couldn't afford to pay that. And so we really do rely on donors to underwrite our programs. And we do find that a lot of folks don't understand our mission. So our donors tend to be large corporations or foundations who see our work as insurance, so to speak, mm-hmm. for their philanthropic investments. So we're mm-hmm. very lucky to have the support of Wells Fargo and PG&E and Bob Shambrom, or the Shambrom Family Foundation. You know, groups that make large philanthropic investments
right.
regularly, locally, and understand that you need good people to provide good services. You know, in a corporation, a huge amount of their costs, when if you look at their budget, is personnel costs. Your intellectual property, your greatest asset, is your people. And that is still true in the nonprofit sector. So we have to invest in them so that they can serve our community even better.
What are some of the things that you end up really focusing on in the training that you do for the nonprofits around their boards?
Well, first and foremost is that some folks just don't understand the magnitude of the role that they're accepting. I think a lot of folks get recruited to boards because they're playing tennis with a friend and starts talking about this fun thing they're doing.
There's
or this
a spot
wonderful program.
On the board. Would you mind
exactly,
coming on?
Exactly.
You'll only be giving an hour.
Exactly. We only meet once a month.
Yeah,
and they don't understand that they're accepting huge legal liability when they step into this role.
Yeah.
And folks don't know that if a lawsuit, you know, heaven forbid something happens, you know, someone gets injured at one of your fundraising events. If there is a suit, it is the board members who are named.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's a sexual harassment issue between two employees, it is the board members who are named. And so our first role, what we do mostly, is help people understand what their role is, and we simplify it for them, and their exposures. And then our argument is, if you got 10 nonprofits in a room, and every board, each of those boards, had 100 things on their to-do list for that year, probably 87 of them are going to be the same thing. Around administration and governance, policy creation and implementation. And frankly, it's the stuff that people didn't sign on to do. They wanted to do those 13 program-specific activities. So we understand that. We get that. We understand that volunteer board members come to this work when they have lots of other obligations, work obligations, family obligations. So we're going to make completing those 87 tasks easier to do. And we're going to have template policies for you to use, so you don't have to we joke that our name is a metaphor for our work. We don't want you to reinvent the wheel. We will find systems and processes and tools that'll help you do those 87 things well, responsibly, and quickly, so you can focus on the stuff that you really love doing, the mission specific stuff. But it's not okay to ignore them.
Right.
And first you have to understand they're there. So that's usually where our training starts.
Great. And you are listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX. If you recently joined and you'd like to hear this show in its entirety, you can go to our website at kcbx.org. The shows are recorded and archived on KCBX's website and are available when you want them. They usually go up online about 12 hours after they air. We have probably about 13 minutes left today, and with my guests Leslie Dirks, Santos Dirks, and Ron Helgerson, and we have a call with Mark we're going to take right now. If you do want to call in, got probably time for another one call at 781-3875. And Mark, are you there?
Hello. Hi.
Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, you know what? Well, I had a comment for Leslie, and it's actually part comment and part invitation. So we love what you do. First of all, I'm with a company called Heart to Heart Real Estate, and I like what Leslie's talked about, collaboration, whatever. So we recently put on an event and just invited one person from each organization. We had about 60 show up. And every person said to me how cool it was because they never get together and kind of brainstorm together. And I think that a lot of times they get worried about, they want to keep their dollars and they're worried about cross-contamination or losing donors, you know, to other organizations. But, you know, all these organizations have their own cheerleaders, and the benefits far outweigh, you know, any downside of stuff like that. So if Leslie or anyone else would be interested at all, we're going to be holding another one of these events, and it's called We Make Giving Easy. It's going to be April 26th at Cantinas in downtown Paso Robles. It's right next to McClintock's. And so my company is called Heart to Heart Real Estate. And we donate 50% of our commissions to nonprofits and charitable organizations that are designated by our clients. So they choose where the money goes.
Well, thank you, Mark.
And thank you.
Thank you for the work you're doing. Also.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's actually been a lot of data that shows that customers will take more purchase risk when they recognize the company as being a good corporate citizen.
Yep.
It is a really powerful thing to
well,
do.
Well, that's interesting. Well, yeah. So we're basically just a service industry, so there is no product to sell. It's all service. But we've noticed. Well, first of all, we're attracting the kind of people that we want to work with because they have a giving heart, and I don't know anyone else that's doing it, but it's really improved our lives greatly. We love it. And if you want to know more, you can go look at testimonials at hearttoheartrealestate.com. We've been able to give over $300,000 locally since our inception a little over 3 years ago.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Mark. And I appreciate your comment about the fact that about collaboration and the benefit rather than competition. So mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Okay, great. Well, nice talking to you and keep up the good work.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Ron, you had it.
Okay. I can't let it go as when we're talking about collaboration. Tonight is the first night of Dancing with Our Stars.
In the Tascadero.
And this year, it's a collaboration of, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe 8 different organizations.
Right, yeah.
Kiwanis, Boys and Girls Club, Friends of the Library, the Greyhound Foundation, the Atascadero Land Preservation Society, which... they're going to generate more money this year, I believe, than they've ever generated as a result of now that the library is constructed, and that's kind of where the thing started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eileen O'Grady did just a wonderful thing in getting this because it's a premier event in Atascadero. And as a result of reaching out to other organizations, I believe we're going to end up making way more than we ever have.
Yeah.
That's so much more
compelling.
Because
we're bringing in...
you bring in more groups of people.
Bring in more groups of people. So.
Fantastic. And we have Bob on the line. Bob, are you there?
Yes. Hey. Thank you for doing such a great show. You know, I've been active with Spokes for, about 4 years now. And I'm an old guy. And of all the things I've ever done with my life, I would say Spokes is just about the most important thing. It's been fantastic working with Leslie. And, you know, when I was young, everybody's training seems to be, you know, live a life of service, do something of service. But I never really learned how to be of service until I got involved with Spokes and under Leslie's mentorship. And it was late in life and it's been fantastic. I really appreciate Leslie and what she's doing. And I hope anybody who feels like they'd like to learn how to be of service, I would hope that they would get involved with Spokes.
Bob, if you had to pass along a piece of, you had to mentor someone and pass along some information about what you've learned from Leslie or from Spokes, what would be the biggest thing that you would glean from that?
Well, that's a pretty hard question. I would just say that it's almost like a spiritual awakening. When you learn to be of service, everything about your life becomes more integrated, more meaningful. And it's kind of the old teachings of religion in a sense. But here's a chance to really learn how to do it where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah. Well, great.
Gosh, Bob, that was the best testimonial I ever could have asked for. Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do for our community.
You put a big smile on Leslie's face here.
Oh, that's not so hard.
Well, thank you all the same. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Bob.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, one of the things that I had a mentor teach me years and years ago when we were talking about nonprofits and how people think that starting a nonprofit would be a lot easier than starting a business is that, you know, no money, no mission.
Right.
And it's really important to remember that whether that's coming through the strong support of board members that really have the mission knowledge, the business expertise, that, you know, they stay on course, or the volunteers that come in, or an executive director that is focused and knows what they're doing. It's really important.
Mm-hmm.
The nonprofits don't run themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And you need the money. It's funny because the business world says no money, no mission. And I argue, hey, no mission, no money.
Right.
Because you need to be able to provide a value
exactly.
to the community.
Yeah,
to warrant
it's circular.
Support. It is. It's a little
yeah.
challenging. And mm-hmm. so that is that again, I want to stress that there's a really we need everyone.
Yep.
And there's many levels to the required participation, or I should say the participation required for our sector to be vibrant and healthy.
So if someone wanted to figure out, you know, they really have a desire getting involved, can they call Spokes?
Absolutely. Yeah. So an easy way to get involved, something we started is called the Happy Hub Hour, which is the first Wednesday of the even-numbered month. Next one, I think, is April 5th. It's 5:30 to 6:30 in our offices, which are off Hind Lane. And it's meant to be just a place to come to meet other people working within the sector. So you'll have nonprofit staff, nonprofit board members. You'll have donors. You'll have consultants. What we want it to be is if you have a new neighbor on your street, grab that person and say, we're going to go to this little happy hub hour. It's short. Mm-hmm. It's easy. We're going to get to know the other folks in our community who are really working hard to make this a better place to live. And again, I say it all the time. The people with whom I work, it is such a privilege because they are exceptional human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a really good group of people. So come and meet us. Just start there. Get to know the sector. And then tell us where your interests lie, and we will find the right fit for you, whether it's with Spokes or, you know, we partner with United Way around volunteer opportunities. We focus on board member volunteers, but folks who want to do a Saturday volunteer opportunity, we send to volunteerslow.org through United Way. We are the hub. We'll help you find the place that meets your needs. If you have some money you want to give away and you're looking for an organization that aligns with your interests.
Kiwanis.
Yeah.
Boys and Girls Club.
We're happy to share with you who's doing what and make introductions. And maybe you're looking for a new career and so I want to start building your skill sets.
Right.
Or you have some business skill sets, management skills that you'd like to
contribute. You want to teach.
Yeah, something. So we mm-hmm. have, as I say, we need everyone's support and we have a way for everyone to get involved. So try the Happy Hub Hour. If not, visit our website, sign up for our newsletter. Start there, baby steps. We're big proponents of baby steps. We'll find a way to get you where you're going.
Great. And I want to thank my guests on today's show, Leslie Santos-Dirks, CEO of Spokes, a nonprofit organization that guides other nonprofit organizations in achieving their goals and support and expert resources. Your website again, Leslie?
www.spokesfornonprofits.org. Again, that's Spokes, plural, then FORNONPROFITS.org.
And Ron Helgerson, Vice President and Incoming President of the Atascadero Kiwanis and on the board of the Boys and Girls Club, North County SLO. And upcoming is the event Dancing with Our Stars
in Atascadero. How many years is this? It's been going on for years.
Long time. It's a very well-known, well-regarded.
Yeah, it was done, started initially.
Initially
to raise the final funding for the Atascadero Library, and it was very, very successful.
Okay. And next week, I want you to tune back in and join host Fred Monroe as he visits with a panel of historians brought together by the History Center of San Luis Obispo County to explore why history matters now more than ever. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.